The Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. Well, praise the Lord. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. Glad you joined us this week. We've got some great things to talk about from a video that was recorded at Faith and Victory Church just a week and a half or so ago. Pastor was out of town. I had the opportunity to minister there, and I just wanted to share this video with you. So we're going to go right into that video as it happened. I will say this, the lighting was just a little off, so I apologize for that, but the message, I believe, is worth enduring the video. So enjoy it, and we'll come back right after the message to give you our address.
Pray and get into the Word. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to come together and receive from your Word. We just believe that the Holy Spirit, as the teacher, is going to guide us and instruct us and teach us tonight from the Word of God. We thank you for that. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and can't go by Romans chapter 10 without looking at verse 8. So let's start with verse 8, because my ministry, Word of Faith Ministries, is based off of this particular scripture. And you'll see why in just a moment, for good reason. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee. That's a King James way of saying it's close to you, near to you. Even in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. So therefore you get Word of Faith Ministries, which is my ministry, and of course the Word of Faith magazine, Brother Kenneth Hagin's magazine. Come from this term, the word of faith. And so Paul said that the word of faith is what he preached. Not only that, he put it this way, the word of faith which we preach, that means not just Paul, but Barnabas and all the folks that were with him. So had a bunch of word of faith preachers in the New Testament. And of course, I believe the word of faith is the message of the New Testament, praise the Lord. And so it's not unusual to be a Word of Faith believer. It's actually normal. Praise the Lord. So, the Word of Faith which we preach, that, and then he says that, saying this is what the Word of Faith is that we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, so notice confession in the mouth is a key thing, we know that, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him, Jesus, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, the phrase shalt be saved there is the most emphatic you can have in the English language. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You shall be saved if you do these two things, which is confess Jesus as your Lord and believe that God hath raised him from the dead. Now, I would point this out, just an observation, that if you've got folks that say, I'm a Christian, and they don't believe Jesus was raised from the dead, I don't know how, because this says confessing him as Lord, believing God raised him from the dead, is how thou shalt be saved. And there are those that say, well, you know, Dr. Bill, Jesus being supernaturally, physically raised from the dead, that's a little extreme, don't you think? Well, yeah, praise the Lord. It's extreme because it was required. If Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead, Paul said very plainly, he says, if Jesus is not raised from the dead, we're of all men most foolish. You know, there's no reason for us to believe what we believe if he wasn't raised from the dead. So it is critical, it is a key thing to believe that he's been raised from the dead and confess him as Lord. Now, this confession as Lord is not just mouthing the words, Jesus is my Lord. It is actually receiving him as Lord, confessing him as Lord, and allowing him to become Lord of your life. That means he calls the shots. Now again, there's a lot of Christians that want to get away with confessing Jesus. Yes, he was a good man, he was a great prophet, all those kinds of things, but they don't want to listen to him. And they don't want to obey, and they don't want to do what the Word says. So they're trying to kind of squeeze by and say, I'm a Christian, but I don't want it to bother my lifestyle. Again, I got a question. Have you confessed Jesus as your personal Lord, believing that God raised him from the dead and believing that he's in charge? If he's in charge, we got to do what he says we're to do. All right, so we do that, we shall be saved. Then he goes on to kind of explain that, give us a little background. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, which as we know is a word that means right standing with God, and with the mouth confession is made unto this salvation. Now the word salvation is a form of the word saved, which of course is the Greek word sozo. Now, just a little quick Greek lesson. Sozo, most people see it written out, and when you see a word written out in English that's actually a Greek word, that's called transliterated, because English letters aren't Greek letters. So they have to write out the closest method of saying it in such a way that the sound would be close, you know what I'm saying? So they transliterate it. So S-O-Z-O is how it's transliterated into English letters, you know, Arabic text, or however you want to say it. So that text of S-O-Z-O, a lot of people pronounce so-zo, but actually, again, it's transliterated. It's a Greek word that when you speak it in Greek has a little quiet D sound in it. Sozo. All right, so to be perfectly grammatically correct in Greek, it would be sozo. Just a fun fact. If you want to say sozo, that's fine. But I'm just passing it along. So the transliteration of S-O-Z-O kind of implies that little D in there. But sozo means saved, delivered, healed, protected, made whole, spirit, soul, body, financially, and socially, delivered from all temporal evil. Okay, so that's a broad definition if you think about it. Saved, going to heaven, delivered, healed physically, because that's part of salvation. Saved, delivered, healed, protected, so that supernatural divine protection is there. Saved, delivered, healed, protected, made whole, which carries with it the idea that comes from the Hebrew word shalom. That word is another one of those words that has a lot of meaning to it. Part of that meaning of that word is that wholeness, soundness, completeness. All of that is tied up in the meaning of this word. So it's not just check the box, I'm going to heaven. It's more than that. You see what I'm saying? It includes a lot of things, and isn't that just like God? You know what I mean? God is a big God, and he does things in a big way. And when you get saved, you're not just a little bit saved. You're just not my key is punched to go to heaven saved. You are fully saved. Back in my Southern Baptist, I grew up Southern Baptist. My Southern Baptist days, we would say saved to the uttermost. I'm not entirely sure where that came from and what it means completely, but boy, we love to say it. We were saved to the uttermost. And it was in some of our songs, praise the Lord. But basically, we were so saved, you couldn't get us unsaved. You know what I mean? So anyway, saved, delivered, healed, protected, made whole, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially, delivered from all temporal evil. All that's included in this word, sozo and soteria, salvation, is the Greek word soteria. All right, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now, here's what I want to get into. We're talking about the importance of hearing tonight. All that's kind of just for free. He goes on to say here in verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, another go back to another good old Baptist thing. You know, how many whosoever's do we have? Everybody raise their hand. I'm a whosoever. Well, praise the Lord, I am a whosoever. And whosoever that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it's open to everybody. Anybody and everybody that's a whosoever. Well, I'm a whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, delivered, healed, protected, made whole, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially, delivered from all temporal evil. Okay? Same word, sozo. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him on whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not, here we go, heard? Notice hearing has to come before believing. Okay? That's one of those Selah moments. You know, they always talk about the word Selah in the Hebrew means to stop and think about what was just said. Hearing has to come before believing. And it's very obvious what he's talking about here because he goes on and explains it. How shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. Gospel's good news of peace, and bring glad tidings. Notice how gospel's always good news and glad tidings. It's not woe is me. Hallelujah. If you got somebody supposedly preaching the gospel and it's all woe is us and God's beating us down and all this kind of stuff, that's not gospel. And it's not good news. Okay? So, they bring glad tidings of good things, but, verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, the good news. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Now notice there had to be a report before they could believe it. Somebody had to preach it before they could believe it. See, that's one reason that I am very frustrated right now with our military. The military has picked up on this political correctness of telling Christians you may not share the gospel one with another. Now you can evangelize, but you can't share the gospel. What? It's contradictory. They're talking out of two sides of their mouth. And you can't have it that way. It's got to be one or the other. And if Christians are not allowed to share the gospel, how shall they believe unless they hear? Somebody's got to say it. Now, I can understand completely that they don't want people forcing anybody into anything, but I tell you, Christians that are truly preaching the gospel, the good news, the glad tidings, they don't force things down people's throat. Matter of fact, that is completely fruitless because you'll turn people off and they won't believe even if you hold them down. You know what I'm saying? So the best thing to do is just live a life in front of them that makes them want whatever you got, and then share simply with them what the gospel is. And a key to it's what we just read over in Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10. Show them that they need to confess Jesus is their Lord, believe God raised him from the dead, and then they shout, no doubt about it, be saved. But you got to preach the gospel. That doesn't mean you have to stand up on a soapbox on the street corner and shout and scream and wave your arms around or anything like that. It just means simply sharing. I've had opportunities at work. People have come to talk to me, and what do you think about? That's usually how it starts. What do you think about what I just saw in the news? Gives me an opportunity to say, well, here's what I think, and I measure what I say so that I'm not trying to be controversial. I'm not trying to stir things up. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. You know what I'm saying? I use the opportunity to tell them about what the Word says. Well, let's think about what the Bible says. And then I'll give them some scripture and so forth. And just give them enough to whet their appetite, because they'll be back. I've seen it time and time and time again. If you don't beat them over the head with something, they'll always come back. You know, I was thinking about what you just said. And over time, you can really witness to them. I got a guy I've been working on, bless his darling heart, I've been working on him now for years. And he has recently decided he's going back to church. Praise the Lord. Well, I hope he goes to a good one. I told him about Faith and Victory, but you know, wherever he goes, it's better than where he's been going, which is nowhere. As long as they're preaching the gospel. All right. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they've not all obeyed the gospel that was preached. For Isaiah saith, the Lord, who hath believed our report? Here we go. Romans 10, 17. This is our key scripture for the importance of hearing. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, This verse of Scripture has been quoted and used, and I'm sure people have quoted it, you know, and talked to other folks about it. And if you're asked the question, where does faith come from? You say, from hearing the Word of God. Amen. But what does this Scripture actually mean? Let's dig into it and really pull out some meaning from it, because there's a lot here. I wanted to read all of that that prefaced it, because that sets the stage for this "so then." The "so then" actually is a Greek word, believe it or not. A-R-A-H is the transliteration. Ara, it means the idea of drawing a conclusion or denoting an inference. Yeah, that's kind of heavy to us, maybe. But basically saying, okay, here's my conclusion. I've given you all this information. Here's the conclusion. Here's the point, okay? And that's what I want us to see, that verse 17 here is the point of what he just said about that you have to preach the gospel, they have to be sent to preach the gospel, they can't believe unless they hear the gospel, all of that. So then, here's the point, and that is this. Faith is the Greek word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, transliteration. Pistis, which means persuasion, credence, moral conviction, religious truth, truthfulness of God or religious teacher, especially reliance upon Christ for salvation, and means, and I love this, a lot of people don't know this, constancy in such profession or confession. Consistency in your confession is built into faith. Amen. The very word faith means, partially, consistency in your confession. I love that. Because a lot of people say, well, you know, I've got faith, but then you listen to them talk, do they have faith? Because they're sure not demonstrating it by their words. But it's built in there that it's consistency in your confession concerning faith. All right. Faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh. The word cometh is not in the original text. It's in italics, and so the translators added it in there to hopefully add to the understanding. But faith comes by what? Hearing. The word hearing is the Greek word akoe, the translator alliteration of that. Akoe is akoe. It means more than the mere sense of hearing, but implies hearing and receiving the teaching. Okay, so here's what a lot of people think when they read faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I can take the Bible on tape and just set it down there and listen to it over and over and over, and faith will come. Well, that's not the fullness of the meaning of it. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us over in the book of Hebrews that the children of Israel heard the word, but it did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So they heard the word, so faith should have come, but the faith that they heard, the word that they heard, did not profit them. Was not profitable unto them because they didn't mix faith with it. So what we need to do is hear the word expectantly. Hear the word taught to us and hear it with more than the mere sense of hearing, just not just hearing the words, but hearing and receiving the teaching. You can make a decision to receive. Or you can make a decision, I don't believe that stuff. I mean, you can have two people attend a service or a meeting, and they both hear the same message, and when they go out from the church and maybe go to Denny's and, you know, have something to eat and get to talking about what they heard preached, one's like, I don't believe any of that. And the other one's like, wow, this is the greatest thing I've ever heard. This changed my life. And they're looking at him like, are you crazy? Well, they both heard the same thing. One heard it and rejected it. The other heard it and received the teaching. And that's what makes the difference. Hearing and receiving the teaching makes the difference. Now, let's keep reading, though, here. It says, faith comes by hearing and hearing. Why repeat that? I had never thought about that. And I had somebody after a message that I taught many years ago in a church They came up to me and they said, Dr. Bill, I got a question for you. Why hearing and hearing? Why not just say faith cometh by hearing the word? I said, I don't know. Let me study that out. And that's what first got me to study this out and find out this word hearing is echoe. So it says, pistis comes by echoe, and echoe comes by the word of God. Echoe is hearing and receiving the teaching. Faith comes by hearing and receiving the teaching, and the hearing and the receiving of the teaching comes by the word of God. Well, what did we just talk about over in Hebrews? Hearing the word didn't profit them unless they mix faith with it. Well, now, wait a minute, because you're telling me that I can't profit from hearing the word unless I mix faith with it, but faith is going to come by hearing the word, but wait a minute, it doesn't do me good to hear the word unless I mix faith with it. You see what I'm saying? It sounds like a contradiction, but it's not. The hearing that we need to hear, the receiving that we need to receive, comes by way of the word of God. And so the ability to hear it and receive it comes from the ability to hear and receive it from the word of God. Now, there's a lot there. That's fairly deep. You're going to have to meditate on that one. I had to meditate on it a while, but here's what will help. This will help. And that's the latter part of the verse here. All of this comes by the word. The word there in the Greek is rhema. Now see, there's two major words for word. I have to watch how I say this or I'll get all tongue-tied. There's two words for word. One is the word logos. The other is the word rhema. Logos is the written word. Rhema is the spoken word. So now what were we talking about here earlier in the chapter? How shall they hear unless somebody preaches? Without hearing somebody preach a message through spoken word, faith won't come. So just having the Bible written down on a piece of paper is not the spoken word. You have to hear the word spoken, taught, a message. That's why, how beautiful a feed to them that preach the gospel of peace and of glad tidings, because they're the ones bringing you the spoken word. Now, spoken word is interesting. Because if I speak a word, what does that imply? It implies you can hear it. If I say something and don't, you know, just move my lips and nothing comes out of my mouth, you don't hear that. That's why unspoken prayer requests are so silly to me when you think about them. I've got an unspoken prayer request. Okay. First of all, how am I supposed to agree with you when I don't know what you're praying? Because you may be praying for the cancer to come down on somebody or something, you know. I mean, I don't know. I'm certainly not going to agree with that. So, how do I agree with you if I don't know what you're praying? And how can it be prayer if it's not spoken? I mean, spoken is speaking to God. Well, yes, but God knows everything. And He knows my heart. Well, yeah, He does. But He also teaches us that words are important. Life and death in the power of the tongue, not the brain, not the thought process, not what I happen to be thinking about, not even what I'm meditating on. It's by words. You have to speak. So life and death in the power of the tongue. And when I hear somebody preach, faith cometh, because when I hear somebody preach, the ability to hear and receive the teaching is in operation. Now, like I said, man, there's some good stuff in there. And I just trust you meditate it out. You listen to it and you go over it and you meditate on it and you receive the message that we're talking about here. So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, that tells me that hearing is absolutely cool. Well, I trust you enjoyed that message today. We're going to finish it up on next week's netcast. So join us for that. Be sure to join us on Word of Faith Radio, WOFR, wordoffaithradio.org. And I've got that here on the screen for you to see. We're on 11:30 Monday through Friday. Now that's Eastern time, 11:30 in the morning. Eastern right after Kenneth Copeland's program. He comes on at 11 o'clock. I'll tell you, following Brother Copeland, that's a good place to be. So join us weekdays, 11:30 Eastern time, for the Word of Faith broadcast. I really want to encourage you to take advantage of that. We have teaching on there every single day during the week. And then, of course, we also have our Word of Faith netcast audio. The audio of this very netcast is on Sunday mornings on WFR, Word of Faith Radio. And that is, of course, at 9:30 in the morning Eastern time. So join us for that. Also, our website, WFM.org. I encourage you to join us there. We've got articles, we've got video, we've got audio, all kinds of resources available for you there on the Word of Faith Ministries website. Now, you can write us here, Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213, High Point, North Carolina, the zip 27262. Join us there. You can write us. You can send us questions, comments, all kinds of things. And, of course, you can always send me an email. Our email address is drbill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at wfm.org. Join us next time. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God. The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.